Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and this is lecture number 19 in our verse by verse study through the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, and we ask, Father, that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. It says, And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and stayed in Gerar. Abraham packs up and moves to the southern part of the Holy Land. He went into an area that was ruled by a man named Abimelech. Verse 2. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. This is the same sin that Abraham committed 25 years earlier down in Egypt. He got caught the last time, and the Pharaoh deported him. Evidently, the feelings of guilt, shame, and disgrace have worn off, so he repeats his sin right here. Verse 3, But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Indeed, you are a dead man, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. And God is being very kind to Abimelech. He is scaring him to death, but he is being kind also. Sin is serious. Hell is frightful. Therefore, the best thing that can happen to a sinner on the way to hell is for them to be jolted by God and scared into repenting. 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, excuse me, will you slay a righteous nation also? Notice how this pagan appeals to God on the basis of justice. He did not know God, and yet he knew instinctively that this real God who had appeared to him could be appealed to on the basis of justice. He knew that, because each one of us come equipped with a built-in sense of right and wrong. And we also come equipped with the knowledge that there is a just God who created us and who we must answer to. 5. Did he not say to me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. Well, he's pushing it when he says, In the integrity of my heart, I have done this. There's not a whole lot of integrity in adding another woman, married or not, to your harem. But it is true that he did not know that Sarah was married. 6. And God said to him in a dream, Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore I did not let you touch her. God withheld Abimelech from sinning against him. You know, as bad as this world is, it would be much worse if God did not restrain sin. Verse 7. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. God makes a clear distinction between the spiritual office and the person who fills that office. Abraham is not living the way he should be living, and he is accountable for that. However, he is still a prophet, and therefore his prayers still pack a punch. He says in verse 7, God says, Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. God had cut Abimelech some slack in the Sarah thing, because he did not know that she was married, but now he knows. So there's no more slack. God expects us to do what we know is right. 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. Notice how Abimelech did not sleep late that morning. That man got up and immediately obeyed God. You know, when God said, You are a dead man, he knew that God meant business. 9. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, What have you done to us? How have I offended you? that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. In other words, what could I have possibly done to you, Abraham, that would cause you to put me in a situation where I could have committed such a terrible sin against God? 10. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? And what was going through your mind, Abraham? What kind of warped logic did you use in order to conclude that you had to do this to me? And of course, Abraham's credibility is shot now. 11. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. Well, that's an excuse. But look who's calling the kettle black. Abraham, the man who did not fear God enough to refrain from lying, says, I had to lie because I knew you did not fear God. You know, what he is saying is, I didn't trust you ungodly people, so I acted ungodly. Verse 12, but indeed she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Well, it doesn't even pay for Abraham to bring up the fact that Sarah is his half-sister. All he's doing is trying to lessen the guilt of his sin. But her being his half-sister is irrelevant. The issue is, she is not just his sister, she is his wife. That's where the deception was, and that's where the sin was. Abraham's trying to have it both ways, you know. He's trying to confess, but he's also trying to say, I'm not totally guilty. 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. Abraham says, hey, Abimelech, don't think that we're just picking on you. I mean, this is what we always do. We've had this plan since we left our original home. When we get in a tight spot, we lie. Verse 14. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham, and restored Sarah, his wife, to him. When you think about how Abraham treated Abimelech, it was pretty nice of Abimelech to give Abraham all these gifts. And Abraham accepts them, too. He needs to accept them because he doesn't want to offend Abimelech any more than he already has. 15. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Abimelech was being very nice to Abraham. He reacted a lot different than Pharaoh did when Abraham and Sarah pulled this fast one on him. Pharaoh ran them out of the country. Abimelech says, stay and live wherever you want to live. 16. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. Indeed, it is a covering of the eyes for you, one translation puts it. In other words, Abimelech is saying, buy a veil, Sarah. I'm paying for it. Buy a veil and cover yourself so that no one lusts after you. That way you and your brother, he emphasizes, won't be tempted again. So definitely a rebuke from the king. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Evidently, Sarah had been in the king's harem for more than just a few days. She was in there long enough for the ladies to realize that something was wrong with their reproductive systems. No one was conceiving, and it was because God had shut the ladies' wombs. But God healed after Abraham prayed. Let's go into chapter 21, verse 1. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah, as he had spoken, as he had said, and as he had spoken. God can be counted on. People will fail you, sometimes because they don't care, sometimes because they are weak. But you can always believe God, and you can always count on God. 2. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It certainly wasn't according to the time that Abraham and Sarah thought was right. They would have thought about 50 years sooner would be right. But God did it at the time he set. Verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. That little boy brought a lot of joy to his parents in their old age. And it was all because of God. He's the one who gave that boy to them. What a miracle and what a gift of joy. 4. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. God had been very kind to Abraham and Sarah. And when Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham obeyed God and circumcised Isaac. Abraham's obedience was in response to God's kindness. Verse 5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. 25 years after God told Abraham to leave his homeland, God kept his promise and gave them a son. Now, I suppose they would have preferred to have Isaac 25 years earlier, but I bet their joy was even more intense now than it would have been if God had given them that child shortly after he had made the promise. Because the longer God makes us wait for something, the more we appreciate it when we get it. 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. God has made laughter for me, Sarah says. God has made laughter for me also. And I think anybody who knows Christ would say the same thing. God has made laughter for me. I never knew real joy and happiness. Not really. Not to the depths that I do now. Until I received Christ and I started to live the way He wanted me to live. Started spending time with Him in the Word and in prayer. 7. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. No one would have said it. No one would have even suggested it. No one would have dreamed it. Which just goes to prove that the Bible is dead right when it says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can ask, think, or even imagine. 8. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And children were usually weaned at age 2 or 3. And people made a big deal out of it back in those days, too. They'd throw a big party and celebrate. 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Well, for 13 years, Ishmael was his father's only son, you know. And for 13 years, it was him and his dad doing father-son type things together. For 13 years, Ishmael is the only heir of all that Abraham has. And it is an awful lot. But then when he's 13, along comes this miracle child, Isaac. And everybody's talking about Isaac. Could be that there was some jealousy here, and it could be that Ishmael was picking on Isaac because of it. 10. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Sarah was a godly woman, but she had some snap also. She doesn't even refer to Hagar as Hagar. She calls her that slave woman. And she wants that slave woman and her son out of there. And she doesn't want them to hurt Isaac. And she doesn't want them around plotting ways to take some of the inheritance that God says belongs to Isaac. I guess we better stop there for today. Yeah, we'll pick up our study in chapter 21, verse 11 next time. Until next time, so long, everyone.